They tell you, we lose, but they ask you your money. Right then, they're the gold diggingest rascals in this country. They're worse than Philadelphia lawyers, these preachers. I wouldn't trust a lawyer as far as you can see. And there ain't very many preachers I'd trust, even if I saw them. Praise God. Sorry rascals, they get sorry all the time. Talk about they love. John the Baptist was a hard-driving man. He was no compromiser. And Herod's wife got his head cut off because John denounced her and said, it's not lawful for you to have you because he took you away from your brother Philip. And Herod was afraid of John because he considered him a prophet and a righteous man. But one day he's having a party for her daughter. That was his stepdaughter, Herodias' daughter. And she danced before Herod, and the Bible says, and the estates of Galilee and the nobles in that district of the Roman Empire. And she pleased him so well that he made an oath out there before all these guests at this birthday party and says, you make a request and I'll give you anything to the half of the kingdom. Now, ain't that something? He was king over that section of the Roman Empire that embraced Judea, Jerusalem, and in that area. She took off and run to her old sorry mother. Mama, the king, her stepfather, just told me I could have anything I wanted to the half of the kingdom, anything. What should I ask for? That old heifer was sitting right there. She heed the prophet just like these old heifers in the church do today. Asked for the head of John the Baptist on a charger, on one of them big platters where they put hors d'oeuvres. She went back and told Herod, and he was sorry, but for his oath's sake, he kept the promise and ordered the executioner to go cut off John's head and gave it to her on a charger to his stepdaughter, and she took it down to that old bloodthirsty mother. And these old heifers are hanging around the church today just as bloodthirsty as Herod's wife. They'd like to see my head cut off and hanging up in a tree somewhere. Because I stand against their stinking old lewdness, their old abominable dress, their old fashions and pride and adulterous old hearts. And I ain't going to quit till they do cut my head off. So, angels, get the charger ready. My head might be laid out there, too, one of these days. That ain't the worst thing could happen. Good Lord, that old thing hits you like that with a thud, and you gone. All you feel is one. I don't think the Lord lets you feel nothing. Stephen, he preached, and they hated him because he preached that scathing denunciation of them in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. Well, let's take a look at that. I just want to show you something. Do I love folks? This fellow was a martyr, the first martyr of the early church, and he loved people, and he was sent from God. In verse 51 of Acts, that's the seventh chapter, beg your pardon, Acts 7, 51. Listen to what he's preaching here to these Jesus haters, holiness haters, said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ear, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they've slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, that's Christ, of whom you've now been the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and then gnashed on him with their teeth. God said, for a man he sends to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. This man was sent from God, and any man today, the Son of God, will reprove, exhort, and rebuke sin. I mean in his favorite church members too. Don't mean just the ones he don't like. They were cut to the heart. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. He must have loved God. He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus, the Father, must have loved him. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice and ran upon him and stopped their ears. They cast him out of the city. They threw stones at him and they killed him. And he died saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Did he have love? Yeah, he loved God with all of his heart. Who do you love most, God or somebody else? The Bible said in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now Jesus said this, Mark 12, 30 and 31. It ain't Moses saying this. This is Jesus said this. He said the first commandment is to love God with all your heart. And the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Which is the most important? Who do you love first? You love the Lord first. 1 John 4, 20 says we love him because he first loved us. Your first love is set upon the Lord. Jesus is the object of our love. And by the way, when we get saved, the Lord puts his love in our hearts. He puts his love in our hearts. Listen to this, John 15, verse 9. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. If you want to love God, you want the love of God in your heart. He said, you keep my commandments and you'll be in my love. I kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. Love me. Praise God. Was Jesus a great man of love or was he an imposter? In the second chapter of John, here's a great revelation about the life of Jesus Christ. And it's very, very true. Its veracity has been proven again and again in the Holy Scriptures, in the life of Christ as being stern. He was filled with love, but it was a tough, disciplined love. A tough love. A disciplined love. God don't know nothing about this old mushy mess. That's romantic love. I'm talking about the love of God. All right? John, the second chapter, please. Verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. A man that came to teach us love made a cord with some leather thongs when he went into the church, his father's house, and found them stinking racketeers like the church is full of today in there selling, buying and selling, mostly selling to get money in the house of God. His zeal was stirred. See, verse 17 says, his disciples remembered it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He was zealous for the house of God, and he took that cord. Some old jack-legged preacher says, oh, he run them sheep and ox out. No, the Bible says, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. He drove them stupid preachers out of the temple first. Them little old sheep and ox. Oxen, they didn't have nothing to do with that. They were brought in there by them hoodwinking preachers that the church is so full of today. All they want is money. He took a cord and beat them stinking preachers on their sit-down places and backs and run them out of the house of God. And then he gently began to nudge them little sheep and oxen and got them out. First, he run them racketeers out, preachers. Hey, that was Jesus. What love. Boy, I like that kind of love. Some of you folks like that old mushy love. Well, you can have it. I like love that you show. I like love that's demonstrated, that's manifest. You can see it a mile off. My little children, let us not love in word, nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Praise God. There's some proof of God's love. The man that preaches to you is like God. If he's going to preach to you and tell you anything, he's going to tell you the word of God. He's going to say what God said. Paul was writing about what a preacher said in Titus, the second chapter, verse 1. He said, but speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, that the aged women likewise be in behavior as becometh holiness, not given to wine and teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be chaste keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned.